All right, well, let's jump back in. And the last, this is actually the last one. The last area that I've identified, I know there's probably many others, but again, I'd call them offshoots from this. So we stand in the gap personally, we stand in the gap for our family, and we stand in the gap for our community, which consists of our church, maybe the city we live in or the business we work for. And some people even have a national, maybe even international forum. And whatever platform God gives you, I think he calls each one of us as believers to stand in the gap. I wanted to just cover this one real quick. This is when Peter and the apostles were put in prison. Well, as happened several times, the prison's open and they were able to escape. And they were thrown in prison because they were preaching the gospel. So what happened, they saw them out, they went back, started preaching the gospel again after they were released from prison. So here's what happened then. The captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, because, only because they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Didn't we strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And then they added some things that kind of made them mad. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When after they'd said these things and when they'd heard these things, they were furious and they plotted to kill them. You know, the one thing I used to think, I mean, I used to have it in my brain. I didn't really totally believe this, but you think, you know, if I could just show them what the truth is, if they could just hear it, if they can see it, well, then they'll believe it. But especially now, we're living in a time where you could show them, this is the truth, here's the video of it, and they won't believe it. I mean, look at the example of Jesus at the resurrection. They went and told the chief priests and the guards who were there, said, "Hey, this is what happened." And they said, "We can't let people believe this." I mean, I think he rose from the dead. Maybe he is the Messiah. Maybe I ought to believe this. Maybe I ought to look into this further. Instead, they paid him off and told him what to go say. So I think we're living in a time when people know the truth about a lot of different things. It's not just about, it's partially what's happening here, and it lines up with what the Bible says. But a lot of people know the truth, but we need to push our narrative. We need to stay in power. So we're living in that kind of a time. The other thing I want to say that happened in Colorado, and we kind of supported this guy as much as we could. We lived in this town, and all y'all have heard of this cake baker. His name is Jack Phillips. Well, he ended up going to court because he wouldn't. Here's the thing. Once people get what they want and they make a decision to that, okay, y'all, we can now have gay marriage. They're not just happy, hey, now we can do it. Everybody else has to support it, believe in it, get behind it. And what happened to him, y'all probably know it, two gay men who wanted to get married, they went and said, "Will you make a cake for us, a wedding cake?" You know, and it had to say something about Steve and John, whoever it was. And he said, "I can't do it. The Bible says it's between a man and a woman." And, you know, went back to the verse that said, "Man shall leave his father, mother, and they shall become one flesh." It's not two guys. And so he said, "I'm not going to participate in that. I can't. I can sell you a cake and you can go do what you want with it, but I can't do it." He had to go all the way to the Supreme Court. I mean, how evil is our country to say, "You have to make me a cake and support what we're believing and violate what it says in Scripture." Well, after he won that case, a tranny came and said, I need a cake. I need you to make me one that celebrates my gender transition so that it's going to be pink on the inside and whatever it's about. Anyway, he said, I don't believe a man can become a woman, and I don't believe a woman can become a man. He had said that, and so the court in Colorado ruled against him because he made that statement. So we're living in a time, it's happening in the courts. That's the weapon of our enemy. Satan has gone to court trying to accuse us. That's what he does. They're using the courts, and they're working with Satan. There are times we've got to say it, stand up. They may come after you and take you to court. Don't let them tell the lie. Stand up, stand in the gap, speak the truth. Don't worry about, you know what it says in scripture, don't worry about what you're going to say. When you end up in these meetings, you'll be surprised because you're like, I'm just going to go and listen. Whoa. When you're hearing so many lies, you end up standing up and speaking the truth. So see what's happening around. See where lies are happening. I'm not saying to go stand up for truth apart from Christ. We represent Christ. We need to speak the truth from the Word and stand up for truth and righteousness. I think the last thing I want to say is because we're going to speak the truth, we're all going to suffer. And I heard this guy a little while back. He's 85 years old. He lived in Soviet Ukraine. And he was an evangelical pastor there. At one time, he was on St. Joseph Bonamico. And here's just some of the things he said. He was at one time on KGB's most wanted list. He said, it was a privilege to suffer for Christ. His quote, too, was what I said earlier. Freedom is God-given. Nobody can take it away. And he said, he encouraged everyone, whatever the cost, be faithful to Jesus Christ. And then he said, because he's immigrated here now, looking at America today is like a movie I've already seen. And he said, socialism has followed us to America. So with that, I had some other stuff, but I think that makes the point. I think we could probably have a little discussion on whatever you want to do. If you want to add some things, Gene, or Fassel, you've lived in a country where you experienced some of these things and probably a lot worse than we are. Maybe we're complaining too much, but I wouldn't mind hearing from y'all and seeing what y'all think as far as tyranny in our country, what's coming, and especially about being prepared to suffer. So,
I really appreciate what you mentioned earlier about the deception that took place in Genesis 3.
Yeah.
I've been hammering behind the pulpit, Satan's strategy has been the same since Genesis 3. Deception, undermining the word of God. Mm-hmm. Most churches today, you don't even carry Bible.
Yeah.
The members do not bring Bible to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we can see. The deception of the devil, even in churches, that we just, you know, they're there for entertainment.
Yeah.
And they go there just to show up to do like the Christian beat.
You're right, and most churches don't emphasize study.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pastor Craig was telling me earlier, he said, you teach 1 hour a week only on Sunday, and you come every week. What'd you say it added up to?
1 hour every Sunday, yeah. 4 hours a month.
Yeah.
He told him that over 12 months, you got 2 days. And I would say, do you think you studied enough? So, congratulations, 2 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, preparation is, I think, it's important to emphasize that because this other stuff is hard to do. It's hard to stand in the gap if you don't know the truth. I don't think you can.
So. Well, I was looking at your earlier slides, and you had some other point. I don't know if you're going to get on regarding prayer.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about that?
Well, prayer in the middle of this, I just wanted to actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Because in the middle of this, I mean, it's prayer all the way through. We can't stand the gap for ourselves without, it's daily fellowship. I mean, let me do this because this was one of the last things I was going to cover. Let me also say this. I forgot this. I forgot where I got this from. But every crisis forces us to make decisions. So one of the reasons God allows pressure and crisis in our lives is to show us what we are. here's what we need. At the end, I put some other verses, but I also got this from Gene's, and he said it has to do with prayer. We have to pray through all of us as we're examining ourselves. I think we talk daily to God in prayer. Prayer is a conversation. So we have to pray for our kids. We have to pray for our wives. I don't think we can love them in the way we're supposed to without prayer. I don't think we can intervene in our child's behalf without prayer. And I don't think we can represent ourselves. I mean, we have to cleanse ourselves. We have to pray to realize what's going on. For self-examination, we have to pray. So I'm glad you said that, because prayer overlays all of us. And I should have said that, but I meant to say that. So I'm glad you brought that up. Did you have another point?
Well, I just one of those things where we talk about prayer.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the best way to say it. We talk about prayer.
Yeah.
But until you hit the difficulties, I wonder if you can do it with prayer.
Yeah.
I have a gentleman in the Middle East that I meet with, on a weekly basis, discipling him.
Yeah.
And his last question, we spent an hour talking about it, he says, faith. Everybody says you just have to have faith. Mm-hmm. Well, and so he's going like, so what does that do mean?
Yeah.
And in the course of that conversation, I come to realize that what we say is you just have to have faith. You just need to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Without really, I would say, bounding and giving it context.
Yeah.
I ended the conversation with him regarding this, with the fact that faith is what we enter the test, mm-hmm. the valley, the shadow of death.
Yeah.
At the other end, that faith has turned to knowledge and knowing God through that.
Yeah.
But until I've gone through it, I can't know God, and I can't enter it without faith. If I don't have that faith, I don't have the basis for going through this. And prayer is, it's got to overlay it. We talk about prayer.
Right. I'm glad you brought that, both those things, because I don't know if you all know, but if you're on, are signed up for Gene's email, he has some, and it's also on his website, basictraining.org. He has several things. One of the things Gene does is he writes something called Perilous Times Primer. And when did you start this? In like 2008 doing it? I think there's like 50 of them out there or something like that. But I picked up one because I thought this relates. And can I cover this real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. It's and it kind of relates to what you're saying. This starts off, and Gene said it yesterday, when you're standing up in the gap and you're ready with your rifle and looking out to see if someone's coming, you want someone to be with you, for most of all. So it helps to have a force larger than just yourself, which it says in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. The point is that we could end up in a situation where it's just us. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand them, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So this Perilous Times Primer, I condensed it, which I hope is okay, but because I don't want to take too long.
It's there to be used.
So he said, here it is, and it goes into the faith that you were talking about. At the most fundamental level, you have to consider the possibility of facing the worst adversities armed with nothing but a full heart and empty hands. To fail to account for this possibility is to be deceptive to myself about how precarious we could end up and how fragile things are, especially right now. I think this one came out quite a while back, but it's gotten even worse since then. Many in history have been confronted with this bleak scenario. How can I be sure that I will not? And it says, your mind is your ultimate weapon. It's this condition I must face at the very bedrock level of preparation. For such a seemingly hopeless situation, I would want three things. So here's the three things. A storehouse of scripture hidden in my heart. Everything Freddie's been teaching y'all that come here. And inclusive of Bible memorization. I'm thankful that my mom made me memorize scripture. And I still, to this day, remember a lot of those scriptures that I had to learn as a kid. But if you end up in a situation where you're thrown in prison, you can't take your Bible with you. You might be able to sneak a little one in, but usually not. You have to remember and go through. And if there's other people there, y'all can share what you remember. Second's a strong, resilient faith. And that's what Mo was talking about, is the faith. The book of James teaches us that every little trial is an opportunity to develop your faith. So I think that's why I'm saying stand in the gap, little by little now, build your faith, because we're preparing for times that are going to be more difficult than now. When you find yourself facing adversity, know that God has paired you with a worthy adversary so as to prepare you for victory. Today's trials, great or small, are opportunities to build strength for some greater test tomorrow. And I want to say, too, that to that, another thing my life evidence is that a lot of times when you try something, you fail, but that doesn't mean you should stop. You know, we go, I'm not doing that. If God tells us to do it, wherever he tells us to go, we go. I still, the other example, I'm sorry, I keep going on, but Abraham, so Moses and Jeremiah, I was thinking both of them said, but I can't speak. And so I think we all start out with, well, don't put me in that because I can't speak. When I came up here, I thought, you know, I can't speak. I don't think I've ever stood up and talked for an hour.
So. Yeah, I think I've been doing it for years.
So anyway, I thought I better do it because we're getting to those times. So if God gives any of y'all the opportunity in a small group or whatever, be willing to do it. And the last thing is a genuine daily fellowship. That goes into prayer. We should be praying every day and getting in the Word every day. Just like it said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds from the mouth of God. This says, we have absolute assurance and promises, I will never leave nor forsake you. And whatever you ask, believing you will receive. If we live in a daily growing relationship with our Savior, his presence alone is all we need in troubled times. This mature approach to the evils of life is best expressed by Paul, who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul's consistent victories on the battlefield of life were won through the conviction. He was never alone, but often forsaken by men. In Jesus Christ, he found a constant companionship and all-sufficient source of strength to meet adversity. So those are the three things. Anyway, I want to leave it with that. And again, if somebody has something else to add, or yes.
One thing, and this points it out, is that when you're standing in the gap, it's you and your Lord.
Yeah.
And there's too many people that are relying on preppers.
Yeah.
Thinking, okay, I have 10,000 rounds of ammunition. I have 4 months of food. And if you look at the people who are going through disasters,
yeah.
Look at the Ukrainians,
yeah.
They're not dragging ammo and, you know, a 4 month supply of food. The people that are burned out in Northern California are walking out in smoking clothes.
Yeah.
And most of the time, when you're standing in the gap, it's not what you prep physically that's going to get you. It sometimes can be nice and it may be a benefit, but if you're depending on that, that's not standing in the gap.
I'm glad you said that because I almost call this spiritual prepping. So.
Yeah, it is spiritual prepping.
Yeah.
Just along that line, there's a guy named Selko who lived through the Balkan War. And he talks about the fact that a lot of guys ended up dying because they had their supplies and they couldn't leave their supplies. Yeah. And then I'm dying. He said he had free one time to leave everything he had behind to survive.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great.
Good point.
Yeah. So, does anyone have anything else, or if not, I'll close this.
Just along the line of Perilous Times Primer, one came out today, actually, just got posted. Mm-hmm. In it, I quote, a lady that lived in Poland wrote a letter for me. This has been several years ago. Because she was absolutely terrified of what she was seeing. This is, she did this before the whole COVID thing, which gave license to leaders all over the world to act like tyrants. She was terrified with what she saw happening in the United States. And she wrote me this letter and talks, and I didn't quote the whole letter, but a lot of her letter is in it, in the Perilous Times Primer. And she just talks about what it was like living under communism, how her folks would stand in line at the food store. And there were a lot of, and from what I've heard, this is actually happening out in Australia right now. They're actually food rationing in places in Australia, and you're only allowed like 5 ounces of meat for a family of five or something like that. So we're going through,
and my daughter's living through that.
Yeah,
really?
Half a kilo, so a pound of beef, basically a day, one box of pasta. Yeah. They were on that ration for a while.
Unreal. Yeah. You were the one that was telling me.
Well, if nobody has anything else, I'll go ahead and close in prayer, and we can get ready for kingdom. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time together as men. I pray that give thanks for your encouragement from your word, that even though we're living in the last of the last days and in perilous times, your strength, your word is with us, and your word is more important than the food we eat, the air we breathe. That's what we need to live by. And we trust you to provide during these difficult times, but help us to have the courage to stand up, stand in the gap, and represent your truth and not accept the lies of the world. We just pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.